Okay, so we're going to start today at Chelek Beres Perek Shmini. It's a little bit of a departure from the Kechavim, the Gagalim that we've been dealing with till now. We're going to talk about the breakdown of the Hashkacha. The breakdown of the Hashkacha, you know. You can speak about Hashem's Hashkacha as omnipotent supervision.
Supervention.
Right. Oh, that was a good word.
That was the word.
Hashkacha practice is supervention. Supervision, intervention? That was a good word. So you can look at it in general. Hashem knows all, he sees all, he gets involved in all, but he leaves outside Bechira. But now he's going to break it down. And he's starting with the basics. And it'll give us a little bit of an understanding of how things work in the world, because it's a very confusing world out there. And there's all kinds, you know, there's all kinds of things that befall the world, calamities and events that could rip a person away from Emunah. It's a rough world out there. Do you want to break something down? Yibachin, now in Hebrew, the word for a test is a mivkan. But the word bechina is an aspect, it's a breakdown. Yibachin, you have to break things down because that's what a test does. It takes what you know and it breaks it down. I mean, if you're able to answer all the questions, you're breaking down your knowledge. Mashi bachim aibash kachazis bachim. We're going to break it down. So, in general, all of the orderliness of a Kaddish Baruch Hu's plan, Yeshua Mishma Bekava Din, it's all, God is very straight with us. There's no ulterior motives, there's no beating around the bush, there's no curveballs. God is straight, everything makes 100% sense. Whatever happens is deserved. You know, bedik tikarav. Yeshua Mishmah, it's straight for Kabbadin, like there's a line drawn exactly. Ganishan Amar, brings the Pasuk and Tillim. Shevet Misha, it's a straight rod. Shevet Malchusacha, the scepter of your Malchus. Well, what are the luckers of a lulav? When you check a lulav, man, you should know this. The first thing you do is you pick up a lulav and you hold it in front of you, directly, you extend your arms, that should be straight, it shouldn't be tilted to the right, bent to the right or to the left. Then you go to the tiyamis, you check out those leaves over there and check out the color. Can you remember, shave it, Misha? The straight rod, Shevet Malchusacha, is the rod, the scepter, the royal scepter is straight, there's no deviation. It's a psukim in Torah. The Kassim, Melech B'mishpat Yamid Oz, how does a king sustain the world? A king cannot sustain the world by being wishy-washy, it has to do with mishpat, with justice. So then, mishpat, you get exactly what you deserve. Shalom, nice. Does anybody want to live that way? No. Thank you, I had it already. Thank you for offering. Does anybody want to live that way? Do you get exactly what you deserve?
We don't get what we deserve.
We get what we don't deserve.
See, we get a lot more than we deserve.
Yes. Does anybody want to... Would you want to live that way? Do you get exactly what you deserve?
That'd be Din with no rock.
Din? We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here, but there's no injustice by Kaddish Baruch Hu.
Maybe we would, because we'd be so clear.
If you would see somebody do chasvus shalom in Avera and eat something that didn't have a proper hashkacha, kashrus hashkacha, no, and then he disappeared. Not dropped dead. He disappeared. Would you have a choice in the matter after? You'd lose your bechira. You'd lose your freaking mind.
The world was created
at this. It is created in Mizadin. But everything is straight. Now that's gonna be a challenge for us. If everything is straight and everyone gets exactly what he deserves, how do we understand our world? That's our challenge. So we're throwing down the gauntlet.
When we go up to Shemayim, like I said,
Kim punished me, but you didn't give me the option to do it.
What if he did the Hagadosh Baruch Hu ran the world and didn't? We wouldn't be punished.
If God chose to do so, God would say he created you. He said, do this, don't do that. And if you don't listen, you're going to disappear. What's wrong? Is that fear? That's fear. He created you, he makes the rule.
Because I should have an option.
You have the option. Your option is do it or don't do it. It's your choice. And if you don't listen, you disappear. That's straight, that's fear. I would say that's the easiest definition of fairness. You want to understand fairness? Tell me what the rules are.
Everybody's belief, and not everyone's belief is on the same level.
No belief would be on
the same level. So someone make a world like that. I mean, don't compare my world to my hypothetical world. My hypothetical world is, God made you, do this, don't do that. And if you do that, you don't do this, you're going to disappear. That's straight, that's fair. And God did not do that. He didn't. You know what I mean? So we could go to God and Kiviyachal, I'm just saying, you take God with the ultimate chutzpah and say, in your face, and then Hashem still keeps us going. So why is that straight? That's not called being straight. Why is that justice? That's not justice. So you say ultimately. That's good. You say in the end. You have to work really hard. Yeah, so but why should God do that? So why should God have a system that the justice comes in the end? Why can't justice come right now? I mean, you had a good...
Justice comes at the end and you have time to do tshuva, so it would be a different justice.
What? It would take away free choice. One of you're down to be honest. Next point. Let's go further. Let's go a little deeper. Let's explore. You're down to be honest. There's only one thing that we know about Hashem. We don't know what He is. We don't. But we know what He wants. Because He tells us what He wants. Lehetiv. He wants to grace us with benevolence. He wants to do good by us. Lehetiv. Hashem wants to create a reality, an existence that that we, His creations, receive tov from Him, and only tov. That everything should be tov, and tov means a lot. The concept of tov is a lot grander than good. Tov means perfect. Perfect's better than good. That should be perfect. It should be complete. It should be ultimate. It should be uber.
He wants
to give us time. You know, Ayyub is Bura, He loves us. Ka'aba, Ayyub is Benay, like a father loves his son. So He loves us. Why does He hit us? Very simple concept. El Shemitama Ava Atzma, because He loves us, Roishi Yasser Abbas Benay, a father must punish his child. If he cares about his child, he will punish him. If he doesn't care about his child, he will let the kid do whatever he wants. You know, when I was growing up, I grew up old school. We had a big house. I was the only one in the house. If I ever wanted to leave the house, I had to tell my mother before I left the house. And this is even when I was older. 14, 15. She never said no. I'm just saying that if I would go out the door without asking her, so then she'd be frantic. And my friends, I had a friend, I used to go, there were no cell phones in those days.
She would leave, I walk out the front door, she could just call me back, where
are
you going?
And
I tell her.
So I would say that if that's true, then cell phones has contributed to a breakdown in society. That I once read that it used to be punctuality was a virtue. Because if you were late for a meeting, so then the people that were waiting for you, they can't, it's not productive, they can't get anything accomplished. But now there's no need for it, because if you're late, just call them. And then they go out to do something else. No one's punctual anymore. So I would say the fact that you can walk out without telling your mom, and she could, you know, just say, where are you, and call you, I would say that that's a breakdown. That's not a minor. I go to my friend's house. There's like 9 kids in the family. And we go to the house. I walked in. The mother didn't know I walked in. We go downstairs. We walk out the basement door and go somewhere. I said, don't you have to tell your mom? He said, no, he never tells his mom. And I thought, my mother cares about me. And his mother's overwhelmed. I'm sure she cares about them too, but, you know, she can't deal with it. Well, my mother cares about me. She has to know where I am and where I'm not. It's not Kishmak. Kadosh Baruch Hu cares about us. He wants to give us time. He can't give us time if we're not acting time. You gotta act time to get time. You gotta act good to get good. For those of you that need translation. If I say a word that you don't understand, let me know what it is, Lechaira. At first light. At first glance, yeah. Grad, that's what it means.
What does grad mean?
Indeed.
Okay.
Taka. I never knew the difference between grad and taka. They're both the same thing. But they can't. One is taka, grad, and taka, grad. It's grad, taka, lechera. Can you remember, Kishek? It's a pasuk in Devarim, Kikashi, Yasavish is benoi. Just like a man causes his son pain and aggravation. We all know what Mitzvah is. Yeah, Mitzvah is. We think Mitzvah is you take out a Sefer. A Sefer which deals with ethics. And then you learn through the Sefer, or there's a Mashkiach in the Yeshiva that tells you what you're doing wrong. And that's Mitzvah. No, Mitzvah is a beating. The definition of the word Mitzvah is to get hit. There's a pasuk, the Dvorim Le'Yivaser Oved. You can't tell a muscle to an avid by word of mouth, by speech. Words are not going to be effective. You want an avid to listen to you, you got to hit him with a stick. Muscle is a force. Now, you don't always have to hit with a stick, and nowadays I wouldn't advocate it. I don't think our generation could take it. And if you hit someone and it doesn't cause them to improve, then you don't do it. But there's all kinds of sticks nowadays. And if you don't use a physical stick nowadays, and I don't think it's a safe thing to do, but there's other kinds of sticks. You can't hit a kid nowadays. I mean, a very little kid, you can give him a little tap, you know. But once the kid is old enough, you can't hit him. Now, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to hit an older child, because the older child is old enough to have feelings of anger and revenge. He's liable to lash out at the father, and he hits the father and he causes a wound in the father, he's Chayim Misa. So if father hits the kid, he can cause the kid to be Chayim Misa. So I once heard the name of a big Mashkiach. His name is Reb Shlomo Volbe. W-O-L-B. Reb Shlomo Volbe.
Get hit by rubbing
in the
my brother, my parents,
he said that the Gemara says you know how to hit an older kid. So he said, "What you know? They asked him, what's the age? What's the age of the child that's considered an older kid? At what point do you have to stop hitting him?" So he said, "Above the age of 3." Above the age of 3, a child will already get. Will get angry and want to lash out the father. And they asked him, at what age will a kid understand what you want from him when you hit him? You know, you hit a kid that doesn't understand what you want from him. He has to make the connection. You know, he runs across the street, so you hit him. Why? So that the next time he wants to run across the street, he remembers the hit. What happens if he's too undeveloped to make that connection? So you don't hit him. There's no point. So they asked Rabbi, what age is a child old enough to understand what you want when you hit him? He said, about 3. You hear that? You hear that? So, about 3. So under 3, he's too young to understand what you want from him. Older than 3, he's going to resent it. Okay. You're right. But there's other ways of hitting without hitting. You can hit without hitting. And that's the way we have to do it nowadays. There are ways of doing it. My Rebbe, Moshe Aaron Stern, he said the way to hit nowadays is to induce the fear of hitting without actually hitting. That's right. Yes. You take out a belt, kid does something really bad, you take out a belt, you pick it up, you make a face, and you whack it on the bedpost. And you say, you know, you really deserve a patch, but I can't patch you. But you deserve one. And I'm not saying you're not going to get one, but this time I can't do it. Or,
work.
It works. It works. It depends on what age. What age?
Like 8.
Okay. Or on Shabbos. It's Shabbos. I can't hit my kid on Shabbos. I might make a chabura, you know. So I'm gonna ask someone to remind me after Shabbos. These, you know. And then after Shabbos, you have a talk with the kid. Or, you know, there's all kinds of things you could do. Of course it's still young children. You do it when the kid is young, he turns out okay. You don't have to hit him when he's older. Chinuch is only when the kid is young. When he's old, it's too late. You can't bring a chinuch a 15-year-old kid. Can't. You cannot be a chinuch a 15. Could someone be a chinuch, you know? Do it, because I said so. Educate you.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay, writer. Justice. Justice comes from love. God cares about us. God is not taking vengeance against us. He's not punishing us. And the Musa Rahab. It's the pain that a father has to inflict upon a child. The rage of the tables of night. Because he wants his son to do better. I want to tell you a story. I once heard this story. And it's a true story, but it's the point is, the story is true and the point is true. There was a kid, someone saw this. There was a kid that ran across the street in front of a car. Right in front of the car. And the car missed him. Barely. And the screech mark, you know, he slammed on the brakes and he stopped right before the kid. The manager almost knocked over the kid. And the driver of the car, he was like breathing. Like, he almost killed the kid. So he felt very responsible. And there were people around. And they saw the kid. They felt responsible because they saw it. So the people around, they start yelling at the kid. Because they gotta stop this kid from doing the stupid thing again. They're stopping him. The kid told the, you know, whatever, the kid, they're yelling and fine. The kid start walking away. The guy in the car sees the kid walking away, he's not listening to the people. So he feels more responsible. So he runs after the kid. He goes, he jumps out of the car, and the kid sees him, and he runs away. Because the kid sees this guy is more determined than the people. So he starts running away. And the kid is fast. So the guy says, listen, it wasn't my fault. This is the kid's fault. There's a limit how much I have to chase after the kid. And I chase the after him, so I show him he gets back in the car. There's somebody running alongside the guy that was driving. He didn't know who it was. He's running after the kid also. The kid sees him, he runs even faster. There's more people running after him. He goes here and there, the guy will not give up. No matter how fast they're running, he keeps going. He's an older person. It doesn't matter. He finally catches that kid and he wakes him up. Who was that person? He was the father. Why? Because he has to make sure that this kid doesn't die. The people that are surrounded, the bystanders, they care, but you know, they don't have to. If the kid dies, it's not, you know, their future is not over. It's not the end, you know. They'll get on in life. They'll shed a tear and they'll get on in life. The driver of the car, he feels responsible because he's the kid. You know, he's part of it. He almost killed the kid. He feels more responsible. But the father's committed. That's what they say, the difference between when you have a breakfast. I mean, Jewish people don't have this breakfast. But the guy has a breakfast of ham and eggs. What's the difference between the ham and the eggs? The chicken is involved. The pig is committed. Wait us. Yeah, you know. He gives his all for that. The pig gives his all for that breakfast. The chicken contributes, you know. But the pig's committed. You know, people have a big problem. You know, a big deal. A big Messiah with the Holocaust. There's one thing the Rebbe told me. Is that anybody that tries to explain the enormity of the Holocaust and to point fingers why it happened because of this reason, because of the non-religious, or because the people were becoming assimilated, or because, I don't know, it's this Scottish kite, the Zionists maybe, because all the isms and the socialisms, and and because people weren't sending the kids to yeshivas enough, all the, you know, or they weren't going to looking towards Eretz Yisrael, they were too comfortable, you know, all these things. Keep your mouth closed. Let me say it worse, more less polite than that. He said something of that skin. There's so much darkness. There's no shot in it. It's of a totally different level. Hashem didn't show us the reason.
You're basically making a statement.
But you're going to explain why. You know, because this guy was Michal Shabbos. That's why they took the baby of the tzaddik of the city and they threw him up in the air and caught him on the knife of a bit of neck. You can make a correlation like that.
That's what I told the guy.
You can't explain anything. What is the baby? The baby of the tzaddik. Some of the similar. You can't. It's not. It's not shaykh. But what do we get out of it? We do get out of it that since there is no comparison and there is no similar event in history to point to, and there is nothing. There's no parallel, and there is no understanding. So something that's unparalleled means it's something which is very unique and it was integral and it couldn't have been any other way. Now the whys we don't know. And now the question answers is, where was God's knowledge? How could God allow 6 million Jews to be put into the ovens? And the answer is, there's no other nation in the entire world that ever had to go through such a thing. How could it not be a Kodesh Baruch Hu if 6 million Jews are put into the ovens? Now, understand, I don't understand it, but I do understand that this is something, it's not just, it happened, it's like part of the forces of history. Forces of history don't bring those things along.
That we had earlier.
We don't say Tachlin on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a holiday. It's a pasuk in Eicha. Kara alai ma'id. It's a holiday, a ma'id. Kara alai ma'id. Hashem proclaimed a holiday. Lishboros bachure, to break by young chosen men. It's a holiday to break by young chosen men. We don't say Tachlin. You know why? Because amidst all the pain, in the morning, one morning, and we're broken. But God cares about us. And that's why we don't say Tachlin. Because if God cared, if he didn't care about it, he wouldn't do it. And we don't understand why it had to be so extreme. We don't understand, the follow a line between what was done and what happened. But one thing we know is that such things don't happen to Christians and Muslims or Azerbaijanis or Uzbekistanis. Never happens. Okay, so now we have two things. One thing is justice, and the other is love. And they both exist. And not only that, the justice is a child of the love. Okay, that's the concepts. That's the basic precepts. Now let's talk about some of the outcomes. Ulam Yisher is then, and let him stay in Yanam. So what branches out from this? If that's the source, the justice comes from the source of Tev, so then the justice itself is going to have a sweetness to it. There's going to be a sweetness to the justice. If justice is being meted out by a cruel, unfeeling enemy, there's not going to be anything, and no mercy, no compassion. And this is something which we lived through 60 years ago, during the time of the Churban. It was no Rachmanis. Mothers would, grab the feet of the save my baby, I can do this. No Rachmanis, with a smile. But they did what they did with a smile. No Rachmanis. Because they hate us, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu hits us because he loves us. It's going to be different. Even the hit's going to be different. He's going to hit the bedpost. Do you know how many times HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us messages that way? That he hits the bedpost and not us? It's just that some of us are so stupid that we are, and he didn't miss, hit the bedpost, I can keep on going. So that's one outcome. Vasheni, and the second side benefit, is that on occasion, a Kadosh Baruch Hu will overlook the line, the path of Din, totally and completely. A Kadosh Baruch Hu will totally overlook Din. Occasionally, not on a regular basis. Because on a regular basis, that would mean there's no justice. And there has to be justice. The Kadosh Baruch Hu will deal with us in compassion. Same as when he punishes us, it'll be mitigated, there'll be a sweetness. And sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu will withhold punishment. The Pasuk in Shema is, Hashem says, Hashem decides who he's going to be gracious to. Hashem decides who he's going to have compassion. And nobody can tell Hashem what to do. And even if somebody doesn't deserve it, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do it. Kabbalah, forgive me, I have to stop now. Mitzvah Shem will continue tomorrow. What?